Hello, my name is Brad McIntyre, and you're listening to the Cultivated Playwright Podcast. This is episode number 29. I recently had a chance to go see Cyrano, where Peter Dinklage, the movie and television actor, plays the titular role. Now, this movie, I believe, came out at the end of the summer last year, in 2021, at least on the festival circuit, but it just got released in movie theaters at the end of February 2022. And weirdly so, it seems like a swing and a miss on the marketing department and distribution departments, because it seems like this movie would have been released over, I don't know, Valentine's Day weekend, but they waited another couple of weeks, so, I don't know, missed opportunity, marketing department, distribution. Anyway, I saw this movie, and I have some thoughts. This is mostly because I am a hardcore fan of this play. Cyrano de Bergerac by Edmond Rostand premiered in Paris back in 1897, the week between Christmas and New Year's, and it is a pretty seminal, very important production. Not only that, it is the first play that I ever read. In fact, I made an entire one-man show called Cyrano Gogo about my relationship as a theater artist and growing up, having a lot of my thoughts about the theater formed by this play, Cyrano de Bergerac. And over the years, every time there's a production that plays close enough for me to see, or a movie version of the play comes out, I go see it. So I have a kind of a small Cyrano collection in my house, and I'm fascinated with the play and all the stuff about it. So when I heard that they were releasing a new movie version of it, I was very excited and trepidatious at the same time. And I'll get into why that is here in a second. Anyway, this particular production has some very strong leads. Probably the standout performance is from Haley Bennett, who plays Roxanne in this production. And she is fantastic. The thing that she does in this production of this movie that I don't see a lot of Roxannes do is that she plays her, she kind of leans into the privilege, like the kind of snootiness that the character has. The character is written as a very smart, very intelligent, very cultured woman who runs in a kind of upper circle of society. And the way they did Roxanne in this production is she is kind of, well, vapid a little bit, not entirely so, but they don't ignore this. So she is shallow enough to fall in love with this other character, Christian, upon first sight. Like she's drawn to the good looks of somebody. And in previous productions, I always find it kind of weird that Roxanne would lose her mind, you know, like a young schoolgirl overseeing a hot guy. But in this production, Haley Bennett does an excellent balance of that. Also, she and Peter Dinklage, to his credit, have a couple of scenes where they just play beat by beat so well with each other. The guy playing Christian is Kelvin Harrison Jr., and he does a perfectly good job. He does a perfectly good job as an actor. He holds his own. And then the last kind of the leads is Ben Mendelsohn as De Guiche. And his portrayal of De Guiche is terrifying. De Guiche is sometimes played as kind of a mirror to Cyrano de Bergerac, as somebody who whose pride could be their undoing. But De Guiche ultimately comes out of the story appreciating Cyrano for who he is and overcoming his own hubris by the end of the play. This De Guiche does not do that. Ben Mendelsohn plays him pretty much as a villain, and a quasi-rapey villain at that. He definitely throws his power around both as power from wealth and power from being an authoritative male. And yeah, it's a little bit one note. And he has a song that doesn't make sense, where he sings about deserving to be happy for some reason, that doesn't quite put his character into context, because everything else we see from his character is that he is the bad guy. Now, as far as Peter Dinklage, they did this kind of novel thing that the director of the movie is Joe Wright, and Peter Dinklage obviously is a small person. He's a dwarf actor, and Peter Dinklage himself is just an actor. If you listen to him in interviews, he definitely downplays his size, and he just wants to be considered an actor. On the other hand, everybody that sees Peter Dinklage, they realize he's of a certain height. And they got rid of the whole notion of Cyrano having a very large nose, and that being the source of his insecurity. And instead, they made Dinklage's size the source of Cyrano's insecurity. Because he is small, he does not think he's deserving of love. Which is completely the opposite of how Peter Dinklage himself lives his life. Peter Dinklage, sometimes, not to his credit, totally disregards his size and can't understand why people respond to him the way they do. But it's kind of like apples to oranges. It's not the same. They make Peter Dinklage's Cyrano out to be this wonderful sword fighter, even though, I mean, practically, in a very literal sense, his reach is, you know, a good 8 inches shorter than anyone else. They make him very witty and smart and kind of dryly funny. But on the whole, I did not dig Peter Dinklage's. I didn't dig the concept, and I didn't dig Peter Dinklage's take on the character, like, at all. And I'll tell you why. First of all, the height thing is too apparent. It's too, if you'll pardon the pun, on the nose. The thing about Cyrano's nose in the play is it's this one tiny thing that causes him to feel insecure, and his insecurity makes him lash out and feel that he's unlovable, and it definitely costs him his true love. Like, the tragic flaw of Cyrano is his self-doubt, his insecurity. And he overcompensates in all other ways. He is this paragon, and he's this wonderful tragic figure in literature because he's this great swordsman and scientist and writer and poet. And he excels in all things, and he lets this little blemish, basically, of his physicality, his extra large nose, be the thing that keeps him from, you know, thinking that he's worthy of love. Now, Peter Dinklage, they make his character short, and because he's short, he's not deserving of love. And I just don't see it. I don't see, first of all, the height thing is, he's supposedly this mighty soldier and very intimidating, but Peter Dinklage is not intimidating. He's just not very tall. So the height, the replacing the large nose with a actor of not very tall stature is not a very good equivalent. It just didn't carry the weight. Because in the original play, you start wondering, well, come on, Cyrano, like, so you've got a little bit larger nose. What? Everything else about you is amazing, but get over it. Whereas there are no other small actors in the movie. It's just Peter Dinklage, and they kind of play it up more than most roles where Peter Dinklage is playing another character. Like in other movies and stuff, I've seen him downplay his height, and the filmmakers go along with that. But Joe Wright, the director of this movie, kind of wanted to emphasize it. And it, I don't know, it doesn't sit well on Peter Dinklage as an actor and as a person. You can see him kind of struggling against that. And it doesn't work as a concept for the play. Now, Peter Dinklage himself, although I find him very engaging as an actor in a lot of ways, he is not meant to play this role. Oh my gosh, I did not I did not dig his interpretation at all. First of all, Peter Dinklage doesn't look like he can be bothered to put forth a lot of energy in in most of his scenes. He looks world-weary, basically. He looks tired. He's not what I would call passionate by any stretch of the imagination. So he plays his Cyrano very dry and very close to the vest, and he has no... his temper does not flare up, and he's not passionate. Even when he's speaking the poetry, he makes it look like he's trying really hard to be poetic and romantic. But the character of Cyrano, the way he's mostly been played, is this supremely passionate, just fiery spark plug of a character. And Peter Dinklage's interpretation just didn't do it for me. He's just too low energy, just too low key. So by the time we get to the end of the movie, and the end of the play, in what would be the fifth act of the production, he just, I don't know, his, spoiler alert, if you've never seen the play, Cyrano dies at the end. That's why I keep calling it a tragedy. So if you need a spoiler alert for a 130-some-odd-year-old play, spoiler alert, but Cyrano dies. And his death scene is usually played amazingly. He rails against his faults at the very end, the things that have done him in. He rails against compromise and stupidity and all of these things that have plagued him through his whole life. And he dies basically saying he takes with him to his grave, at least, his panache, which in literal sense is the white plume of his hat, this giant white feather. But in a metaphorical sense, he's taking with him his pride. He's taking his pride to the grave. Peter Dinklage doesn't use the word panache. Erica Schmidt, who is Dinklage's wife, by the way, wrote this screenplay and based it on her original stage play that Dinklage was also in. But she doesn't use the word panache anywhere. In fact, Cyrano doesn't even wear a big hat in the movie. There's so many wonderful costumes that are sort of period, like kind of period-esque of the mid-1600s, but they don't put Cyrano in a big brimmed hat, and Peter Dinklage does not wear a big plume or a feather anywhere on him. And so at the end of it, of course, they don't use the word panache. He just says, you were in love with me and I was in love with my pride. And pride is the last word before he dies. And it just, again, for such a poetic play, a poetic story, it's just so mundane. Like, it's so modern. I mean, or contemporary, I should say. Or modern, I guess you could say modern. So, yeah, I just didn't dig it. Now, the play itself, or excuse me, the adaptation itself has a lot of kind of innovative things that stuck out to me while I was watching it. That I was like, oh, that's really smart. As far as cons go, before I get to the pros, it tries to modernize it. I don't know what the fascination with taking classic pieces and trying to contemporize them is in the last couple of decades, but this is a play that you need to do as written. I've seen so many people swing and a miss. They use the story of Cyrano as a skeleton to hang whatever other story they want to tell. And that's kind of what this did, even though it's literally called Cyrano. They told the story of Cyrano, and they have Cyrano, the swordsman and poet, and they have Roxanne, the society love interest, and they have the brave but bumbling soldier Christian in it. But they update all the language. There is no nose tirade. The no merci speech or no thank you speech is just done conversationally and he's cut way down. When he does the duel where he's fighting the Valvaire, the count, the, or what's his name? Not Marquis. The foppish guy that he fights at the first act, that he fights in a duel. By the way, that he fights this guy and kills him very slowly. He stabs him and then pulls him onto the sword. And I don't understand the, like, they're glorifying the death in the movie. Anyway, the wordplay sounds almost like, I don't know, slam poetry or a rap or something. It's not poetic like it is in the play. And it's too fast to hear. Dinklage speaks too fast for it to be heard. It's just one of those technical things that pull from the play. Yeah, and also the music is distracting. I like the music. I was humming the music when I left the theater, but I'm also questioning, why does this story need music? It has so much poetry. And I guess the argument is, oh, it's just one step away from the poetry becoming music. But they burst into poetry instead of music in the play. Like, the poetry has a special place. But if music steps in as having, if it's a thing where they break into song, like in musicals, and they don't even do it that often. There's just enough music to be wedged in where you're like, oh yeah, I forgot that I'm watching a musical, and oh, they're singing again. But the music is great, but just doesn't seem to fit this story. Once again, it looks shoehorned in. Now, there are a couple of really nice things that Erika Schmidt did in adapting the play. First of all, she gets rid of Lignier, the poet at the beginning that Cyrano heads off to protect at the end of Act One, and makes the hundred men, quote unquote, that he fights, sent by de Guiche against Cyrano, specifically against Cyrano. And I really like that. That's a good streamlining effect to cut out Lignier. Now, Lignier was in the original play because Lignier was an actual poet that did live during the actual Cyrano's lifespan. And so when Rostand was originally adapting the play, he put that character in because that character actually was a person that historically existed. But I don't think the story needs Lignier. He always disappears after Act One anyway. Like, he doesn't come back in the rest of the play. So he's just kind of there as like a plot point. But the same effect can be had if de Guiche just sends his thugs after Cyrano for killing Valvert, basically, and teaching him a lesson. And in this play, he doesn't fight 100 men. He just says he wants to, and like, I don't know, 9 guys show up, and he calls it 10, and he fights them and kills them all in a stairway. I like it when he fights 100 men. I think it's amazing. But again, I can't imagine Peter Dinklage taking on 100 men. And again, they did try to ground it in reality and didn't play into the romantic kind of notions that the original production would have. The other thing they did that I really liked is the relationship between Christian and Cyrano was much more developed. Like, you kind of realize that Christian is not tricked. He starts to catch on that Cyrano is running a con and exploiting him. And that Cyrano needs him as a surrogate for his feelings to woo Roxanne. And Kelvin Harrison does a wonderful job of, like, starting to put the dots together. And in fact, later in the movie, in Act 4, when they're on the battlefront, he turns to him and he's like, she loves you. She loves my soul, which is you. And I know that you love her too. I've just tried to tell myself it wasn't true. I've tried to deny my own knowledge. So that makes a lot more sense, rather than Christian just kind of being doofy about it and like aloof and not knowing what's happening. So I really like that aspect. I also like the aspect that they made Cyrano and Christian actually friends. Like, they start to really grow closer as friends. It's not just Cyrano using Christian, you know, as a facade. They learn to kind of respect each other. There's tiny little moments. It's not even necessarily in the writing. There's tiny little moments where the actors find a way to connect. And so when Christian dies in Act 4, Cyrano feels the loss so much, just as much as Roxanne does. So I really like that a lot. I thought that was a very astute way to adapt the like, bring that little moment out. Also, and on a minor note, Erica Schmidt really, really stretched out the moment in the bakery when Roxanne comes to admit that she's in love with somebody in Cyrano's regiment, and Cyrano thinks that it might be him that she's declaring her love for. And then she says, "Nope, I've never talked to him before. It's this new guy, Christian." And that moment is stretched out. That tension is just stretched and stretched. They go back and forth on it with wordplay for a little bit, and it really plays nicely. Because I know what was coming, I've seen the story before, I was very, very delighted that they stretched that moment out. Overall, there's like a variety of little moments in the play, or in the movie, that are really wonderful, but these little moments are not enough to string up the whole thing. As a whole, the movie just doesn't do justice to the play. It doesn't do justice to the story. And I realize this is a perennial problem. This is a dilemma that pops up over and over again. That if you would translate one thing from one media to another medium, that there's always this chance. It's the book is always better than the movie, quote unquote, or the TV show was much better than the comic book it was based on, or something like that. It's so hard to take a story from one format and put it in another format. But I just kind of wanted to give some thoughts on this because, A, I had a lot of thoughts, and that's to the credit of the movie. It's great when you watch something and it makes you contemplate, it makes you reflect on it quite a bit. And if you are a fan of Cyrano de Bergerac, the play, I definitely think you should go see this movie. But I don't know. Go in without your expectations too high, because this movie kind of, as I said before, it swings and misses. And I kind of the other thing I kind of wanted to bring up that I'm a bit bothered by is that this may be the first introduction of this story to a new generation. People that have not seen Cyrano before in another format or have never read the play, this might be their first introduction to it, and I don't think this is a very good first way to encounter the play. It will shade how you might look at the original, if this is what you see first, if this is how you're introduced to the character and to the story. Anyway, I don't know. I may or may not do movie reviews on this podcast in the future. I really, really am a fan of Cyrano de Bergerac. It is one of my favorite plays, and I love the story, and I love all the ephemeral kind of surrounding it historically. For instance, Cyrano is a real life person, and the play itself, the original play, takes aspects of the real Cyrano's life. But the character in the play is nothing like the real life Cyrano. And Rostand never had a hit as big as Cyrano in his career, for his whole career as a playwright, and so it sticks out for him as well. And it premiered in the middle of realism. 1897 was not a year that you would see a lot of verse poetry on stage, any more than you would see verse poetry nowadays. I mean, 1897 was like the heyday of, I don't know, Strindberg and Ibsen and Chekhov and stuff. So that the play was already a throwback when it premiered on stage, and that people contemporize a play that actively was a throwback when it first premiered also seems off target to me. So, those are my thoughts. Hey, thanks for listening. My name is Brad McIntyre. As I said, you can check me out on my website, bradmcintyre.com. There's a link to all my social media accounts. Or you can go to the Cultivated Playwright podcast website, which is just cultivatedplaywright, all one word, .wordpress.com. And I'll put all the show notes in, and I'll put a link to the trailer for Cyrano, the Peter Dinklage movie, if you want to see it. Other than that, you guys have a good day. Bye.